Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace of the Lord be with you. My Calvinist friend up in Auburn many years ago accused us Orthodox of talking too much about the Incarnation and not enough about the cross. We talk too much about becoming God, becoming incarnate, but not enough about the cross. Of course, it's coming from a very heavy Protestant mentality for him to say that, because it is absolutely not true. The cross is at the very heart of our church, of our faith, of our tradition. Yesterday, for example, August the 1st, was the annual commemoration of the procession of the cross. This was something that was done in Constantinople back in the glory days of Byzantium on the first day of August, when the relic of the true cross, don't forget now, they had the true cross on which Christ had been crucified. And they made a procession around the entire city of Constantinople with the relic of the true cross, with prayers to bring peace and healing to the people and to the world. So if I had said this now as an example of the cross in the Orthodox Church, my Calvinist friend would have said, yeah, you Orthodox are good with rituals of the cross, but do you preach the cross? Protestants are big on preaching. I don't know where people get these ideas. And don't get me wrong, I really like my Calvinist friend. He is my brother in Christ. But yes, we do have rituals in the Orthodox Church. But that does not mean that we only live by rituals. We live by the reality behind those rituals, the reality that those rituals communicate to us. And the reality, is Jesus Christ. There is no other reality that we Orthodox live by. And if we turn everything into ritual, it's because humanity needs rituals. Humanity, human beings, live by rituals. Even going to the gym is a ritual that you do certain days, certain times, you stay certain length of time, you do whatever you need to do. Even something as banal and totally unreligious is ritual. Because rituals are in our DNA, planted by God from the very beginning. God himself instituted rituals from the very beginning. The first thing he commanded Adam to do was to name the animals. And that is a ritual. It is a ritual that we honor in the Orthodox Church together with our ancestors, the Jews. So when a baby is born to an Orthodox family, now, don't tell them, most people don't do this because they have forgotten the rituals. They have forgotten the rituals. But in the real Orthodox tradition, when a baby is born, he's given a name on the 8th day. That's the day for naming a baby. And then 40 days after the birth, we bring that baby into the church and to the altar, commemorating all the things that happened to Jesus. He was named on the 8th day. He was brought to the temple 40 days after his birth. And if these rituals were good enough for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, why would these rituals not be good enough for us? Because we just want to preach. Good luck to those churches that just preach. Why? Why should we not do it? Does it take anything away from who Jesus Christ is that we commemorate the fact that he was named on the eighth day, that he was brought to the temple on the 40th day after his birth? Do we take anything away from Jesus when we carry his cross around this church on Holy Thursday night? We don't live only by preaching. We live by rituals and the realities that those rituals represent. Because quite frankly, the cross is inscribed by God in every holy ritual. When Simeon took in his arms the 40-day-old baby, when his parents brought him to the temple on the 40th day, when Simeon took that baby in his arms, he said to Mary these words, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." He took this 40-day-old baby, and he's already talking about the cross. He looks at this baby, and he sees the cross inscribed on the face of this baby, and tells Mary that a sword will pierce your heart. And this baby will be for the fall and rising of many. No, do not separate what God has brought together. Right there at the recognition of the incarnation of God, Simeon saw the cross. And Simeon saw that the cross is not just for the salvation of people. It's not just the instrument of salvation. It is also the means by which the desires of our hearts will be revealed. Do we go to church just to hear a sermon and sing a few songs and then have coffee? Or do we go to church to be brought into direct contact with the cross that Simeon saw in that baby? Do you see the cross in everything we do here? Every time I turn to you to give you peace, I make the sign of the cross. Every time I bless you in the name of the Lord, I do the sign of the cross. When I consecrate the bread and the wine, that we may receive them as the body and blood of Christ, and I call upon the Holy Spirit to make this bread the body of Christ, and that which is in this wine the blood of Christ, changing them by your Holy Spirit. Sign of the cross. We don't do anything without the cross. And it's not just an empty ritual. Of course, when you fan yourself, that is a ritual. That's blasphemy. You can't make the sign of the cross properly, and you just go like this, you are blaspheming. Better not to not make that sign. Better to just stand still. I'm serious about that. It's a bad habit that many of us have. It's blasphemous, deserving of hell. But think about it. When you make the sign of the cross properly and not fanning yourself, you are consecrating your body. just as I consecrate the bread and the wine, when you make the sign of the cross on your body, attentively, prayerfully, you are consecrating your body, your entire being, to Christ and His passion for you. Don't trivialize things. The Lord is passionate for you. He loves you. He wants to make you holy. He wants to consecrate your body, your soul, your spirit, your life, everything that you do, even your rituals at the gym. But if you don't make the sign of the cross, if the cross is not part of who you are, and maybe just a piece of jewelry that you hang in there together with an eye, another piece of blasphemy that some Greeks do. If you don't do that, you are not giving yourself over to Christ. You are not dedicating, you're not consecrating your body to Christ. St. Paul just told us, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And just as I call on the Holy Spirit to make this bread the body of Christ and this wine the blood of Christ, that Holy Spirit is in you waiting for you to make the sign of the cross to consecrate your body, your life. That's the passion of Christ. That's why we have the cross and why we also honor and commemorate the incarnation, because without the incarnation, there would be no cross. No us here today. And the passion, of course, did not end on the cross, because He rose again to new life. And He ascended. And He ascended. He returned to the eternal life that was always His before He emptied Himself and became one of us. When He returned at the ascension to that eternal life as God, as the second person of the Trinity, He did so with His incarnate nature. He is on the throne of mercy right now with the wounds that we inflicted on Him. And that is why He is our high priest, as the New Testament calls Him. Because He, in the eternal glory of heaven, now, after His life here on earth, He always has His incarnate nature, His human nature, with those wounds. He is our high priest because His incarnate nature, His human nature, is forever united with His divine nature. Through the cross, through those wounds that we inflicted on Him, the cross is embedded in the incarnation. Simeon saw it. We see it. God honors it. Christ lives it. And Mary, oh Mary, oh, poor Mary, how poorly she's treated by many who call themselves Christians. Do you think that she ever forgot those words that Simeon said to her? St. Luke, in his gospel, after telling us about Simeon, Luke then tells us Mary kept all these things in her heart. She kept all these things in her heart. Mary, poor Mary, so mistreated, so ignored by so many who call themselves Christians. She kept all these things in her heart. There is an icon in our Orthodox tradition that you see many times. Many homes have this icon, but maybe don't pay attention to it. It's called Panagia Amolyndos. And it's a typical icon of Mary holding Christ, not as an infant, but as a 6 or 7 or 8 year old, or younger, but not an infant. And Jesus has his head turned to his left. And to his left, the icon shows an angel holding the cross. And Mary is holding Jesus, and he's looking straight at that cross. And on the other side of Mary, the side where Jesus is not looking, there is a spear and there is a stick that has a sponge on it. The cross, the spear which pierced his side, and the sponge that was put in his mouth in mockery when he said, "I thirst." The three instruments of Christ's passion, right there, and he's looking at it. This is how we honor Christ, by seeing the whole, not compartmentalizing our faith into neat little drawers which we open according to our needs. We are allowed by the Holy Spirit to see the whole. And we accept the gift of seeing the whole. The Christian faith is the most complete statement about the world and our place in the world. And it most fully makes sense when you can see the whole picture. Eternity, creation, sin, incarnation, cross, resurrection, ascension, eternity. But the eternity of God now includes the eternity of man. The creation has come full circle. The image and likeness that God placed at the beginning in the Garden of Eden now has a home in the eternal sanctuary of God's holiness. Do you understand how profound is the mystery of our existence, how wrapped up it is in the incarnation and the passion of Christ and the glorification of Christ. That's the mystery of our salvation. The incarnation undergirds everything in our church. We call Mary Theotokos because she had in her womb God. Simeon, we even have a name for him in the Orthodox Church. We call him Theodochos, receiver of God. And sometimes you have to chuckle how far we go in the Orthodox Church with this incarnational language. Do you know what we call the parents of Mary? Joachim and Anna, we call them Theopatores, ancestors of God. you have to laugh at this a little bit, you know, but if Mary is the mother of God in the sense that she bore in her womb God, then her parents become the grandparents of God. You can laugh. It's okay to laugh. We can laugh. Our tradition does not forbid us from laughing. It is worth a chuckle. So God has a mother or a grand or grandparents? Of course not. But in the incarnation, the second person of the Trinity, who is God, who is the Word that spoke everything into existence, at the right time, according to St. Paul, he accepted to be born of a woman, to have parents and to have grandparents, and to be held in the arms of old Simeon. And most shocking of all of that, is that he calls us friends. Friends and brothers and sisters. Jews listened to all of this and they can't tolerate it. They think we are blaspheming against their God, whom they thought they exclusively owned. And Muslims, well, they say we deserve jihad. And atheists think we believe in myths. But we boldly proclaim to the world, without shame, without hesitation, that God became flesh and pitched his tent among us in the desert of sin, in the desert of our sinful lives. That's the God I believe in. Do you? There's a beautiful book by Metropolitan Neophytos of Morphou in Cyprus, translated into English with the title, Without Being Crucified, We Will Not Be Resurrected, We Will Not Be Glorified. The cross is indeed the heart of our faith. Calvinists and Baptists don't have a monopoly on the cross. And quite frankly, what they do with the cross is not something I want to talk about. Jesus said that we must pick up our cross to follow him. The true Christian, the true Orthodox Christians, accepts the cross that the Holy Spirit reveals to him or to her. We are living in a time of fear. There is fear everywhere. We lock our doors, we lock our cars, we lock our lives. But be careful. The greatest weapon of Satan against us is fear. Nothing opens the door to Satan more easily than fear. And is it any wonder that our whole society is becoming more and more and more, I don't want to say satanic, but more and more disoriented, losing its foothold because we are afraid, because we live with fear. But why be afraid? The battle has already been won. You've heard me many times quote to you that passage in Paul's letter to the Colossians, where he says that on the cross, Jesus canceled, nailed to the cross, the record of our sins, the record that Satan could use to claim us as his own. Jesus nailed it to the cross. And more than that, Paul says, he disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. He made a spectacle of Satan and his minions and his principalities and powers. The cross is the mockery of Satan, the mockery of everything that is evil. At baptism, We spit on Satan. And I tell people when they come to a bath, do real spit. Don't do the feminine version of just blowing in the air. Spit, it says. Spit on him. That's the greatest exorcism right there, to spit on Satan. So why do you still toy with his temptations? Spit on those too. Spit on Satan every time you are tempted. He cannot win. Only when we let him, only when we enjoy our sins and surrender to them. But if we want to fight Satan, you just spit on him and make the sign of the cross and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus, save me, as Peter cried out in the gospel today. Enter into the mystery of the cross. Without crucifixion, there is no resurrection. How can you love eternal life if you have never been crucified? St. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If you have died with Christ, if you have been crucified with Christ, if you have died to sin with Christ, then you share the victory of the cross, where the powers and principalities of evil were made powerless. People want Christ. Everybody, well, a lot of people want Christ. But they also want to hang on to everything that they are. It doesn't work. You can't have two masters, Jesus said. Either Christ is your master, or you are your own master. That's all that it is to it. And the time, dear friends, is growing short. It really is. Amen.